Beatles and Get Back. Late show then. Thursday night, headlines coming up at 11 o'clock. Weather with Paul Hudson as well. But first, time for clue number one. You might be able to spot this a mile off as to where he is, but I have no idea. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? Clue number one is as follows. The Long Bien Bridge is in this city. Once one of the longest bridges in Asia, 1.5 miles, was designed by a Frenchman, none other than Gustave Eiffel, in 1892. You might remember him as the man who designed the Eiffel Tower. Today, no cars are allowed across it, just bikes and pedestrians. Clue number one. Where do you think he could be? He'll be on about 20 past 11. We'll have a chat with him about it too. 81333 and Russ when you send a teletext. The Long Bien Bridge is in this city. Designed by Gustave Eiffel of the Eiffel Tower fame. No cars today, just bikes and pedestrians. Where in the world is Andy Mossack then? I've no idea. Need your help to narrow it down. Storyville with Cousin Phyllis and the Truckers Truffle and Neck. Songs for America here on Thanksgiving. However, clue number two for where in the world is Andy Mossack. We heard about the bridge, the Long Bien Bridge, in this particular city. Clue number two, the Temple of Literature is one of the oldest universities in Asia, established in the 11th century, dedicated to Confucius. Temple of Literature, one of the oldest universities in Asia, is in this city, established in the 11th century, and dedicated to Confucius. Clue number two, the man himself, here at 20 past, 81333, and Russ at the start of your text. Where is he? Coming up, where in the world is Andy Mossack? We have the two clues, don't we? We have the two clues. I want to say hi to Bill on the Facebook page. Hiya there, Bill. Says, hi, Russell. He's still in Vietnam, Andy Mossack. He's just gone north a few hundred miles. I reckon so. In fact, thinking about it, it's a very long, very thin country, isn't it, Vietnam? You imagine it being a long, like a big, heavy block, almost looking similar to Korea. But it doesn't. It's long and it's reed thin. So I think you're right. A few hundred miles, probably about 1,000, he's probably gone north. So we'll catch up with the man himself soon. However, people, and One Night in Heaven here at The Late Show then, with me, Russell Walker. And now this is quite weird. It hasn't happened for quite some time, this, to have Andy Mossack on the show, sort of 2 weeks on the bounce, and I'll give you the couple of clues of this. The Long Bien Bridge, one of the longest bridges in Asia, 1.5 miles, designed by Gustave Eiffel in 1892, man who designed the Eiffel Tower. No cars allowed across it, just bikes and pedestrians. That was clue number one. And clue number two was about the Temple of Literature, one of the oldest universities in Asia, established in the 11th century, dedicated to Confucius. So, thank you very much for having a guess and pointing me in the right direction. Let's have a quick chat with the man now, shall we? Good evening, Andy.
Hey, good evening, Russ. How are you?
Yes, all right? I'm all right, my friend. I suppose it's very early in the morning for you there, isn't it?
Yes, not bad, not bad. Breakfast is coming up, sun's coming up, and here I am talking to you about tomorrow. I'm already tomorrow, aren't I?
Yes, you're already enjoying Friday. We've not had any answers to the contrary here. Everybody, 100% of correspondents are saying you are in Hanoi.
Hanoi, indeed. Hello. Capital of Vietnam, which was obviously once North Vietnam, but now we are as one, as they say. And interesting, Hanoi stands for inside the river. And the river in question is the Red River. That's a big red river that circles the city, and it's red because it's got it's got this sort of red mud in it. So they call it red. And I love it here. Completely different from Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon, as we talked about last week.
Now we were saying this, Vietnam. When you see it on a map, it is sort of an incredible shape, sort of a bit at the top, a bit at the bottom, and long and thin coast that links the two here. So before we talk a bit more about Hanoi here, how was the trip from Saigon in the south up to Hanoi there? I mean, you've basically travelled the entire length of Vietnam in the past week.
Exactly that. Yeah, we started out in the south, and then in the middle. There's a lot of beach resorts, as you said, quite rightly. It's very thin in the middle, and you've got, in fact, it's sort of Cambodia on the left and Laos, two other countries border it. So on the right is nothing but the South China Sea, or they call it the South Asia Sea these days. I don't like saying China. Mm-hmm. And in the middle there is Da Nang, which is a very kind of, I would say, almost a very resorty type city. Okay. Lots of tourist stuff to do, and this beautiful old town called Hoi An, which is completely unscathed from all the wars, and it's like stepping back in time. You've got this old, very very old and unique and authentic houses that date back to the Middle Ages, and remarkably just completely untouched. And so you've got these lovely beach resorts around it, and then Hoi An in the middle, which is this kind of old place, but it is a bit touristic, I have to say. Lots of souvenir shops and restaurants. And but the fun thing was, I did this thing, this hotel, the Victoria Hoi An Hotel, and the general manager does motorbike trips. He takes guests out in his motorbike with his leathers and his helmet. You're on a sidecar. So you can imagine this motorbike, wow, with a sidecar. And he's taking me out, and this is for everybody. You go out into the rice fields and the shrimp farms, and you get to meet all the locals, you know. And you see the local farmers here. They have their trademark conical hats, which is, wow, an image, you know. It's so defining of Vietnam. I love it.
Did you get the sense when you're doing that, did you get the sense that you, in a way you're... we may have touched on this last week a bit, but do you really sense you're seeing, you know, real Vietnam when you're doing a trip like that through the rice fields, yeah?
Yeah, totally. I mean, these people are very warm, very, very welcoming. And, you know, I just stopped off. Well, he stopped the bike, and we got out by a lady farmer who was using these big watering cans over her shoulder. You know, those sort of big poles they put over their shoulder. They've got a watering can on each end of it. And she's literally walking up and down these rice fields, just watching her crop, so to speak. So she stopped and she gave them to me, and she said, "Oh, you put them on. Come on, you know." And she showed me how to get down with the locals. It was a fantastic moment, really lovely.
So let's get back to Hanoi here. Now, there is one thing I know, obviously, sort of elements of war history. When we touched on this last week as well here, but there is one thing I know about Hanoi, and it's something that intrigues me. And I'm wondering if you've seen it, because it is there, the Turtle Tower. Which is the tower on an island in the middle of sort of one of the thicker bits of the river, the Turtle Tower, and it's a place I've always wanted to see, always wanted to go to, and it's on sort of it's on an islet. It's quite a strange thing. Have you seen that one? It's on Sword Lake, actually, is where it is.
Interesting. The Turtle Tower. I am actually opposite that lake, and there is a kind of it's a temple in the middle.
The Turtle Tower. Yeah, that's the Turtle Tower. I've always wanted to go and see that. So you're there. You're overlooking the Turtle Tower.
I'm literally looking at it. Yeah, yeah. It's the biggest lake in Hanoi.
Yeah.
And, and this beautiful tower. And it's lit up at night beautifully. And there's a lovely red bridge that crosses the water. Yeah. It is spectacular. And everybody walks around. I was going to tell you that every morning everyone is out there doing Tai Chi and yoga. You know, it's quite nice. You know, it's a very relaxing thing to see. But water actually plays a massive part in Hanoi, because it's got 32 lakes. And there's one lake I saw which was remarkable. It was a small lake, and there's these sort of shops and houses surrounding it. But in the middle of it is a piece of a B-52 that has obviously broken up and during the war and fell in there, and it's an engine and a piece of undercarriage, and it's just sticking out of the water like a piece of art almost. And they just sort of use it as an art piece, you know. It's quite remarkable.
How extraordinary to see that.
Yeah, and there's a little tree kind of starting to grow through the middle of it.
Wow, so sort of nature reclaiming.
I'll put a picture on the Facebook page of it, because it really is something special.
Now,
the other thing I wanted to just mention is the Hanoi Hilton prison, which I'm sure you've also heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Those prisoner of wars, the American prisoner of wars, called it the Hanoi Hilton.
Mm.
And it was a notorious French prison, actually. But the American pilots were interred there, but they had such an easy life, believe it or not, because they were seen as very special prisoners for obvious reasons, for using it as propaganda. So they were given quite luxury life, really, as prisoners. So they called it the Hanoi Hilton because they were getting such nice treatment in prison, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now back to a history class that I had with Mr. Hinckley, who was my history teacher all the way through.
Yeah.
Now, with that particular prison, didn't the areas of the prison, didn't they have names? They were named after bits of the Las Vegas Strip, I think. So I'm sure there were individual. There was, you could go and have your lunch in the Golden Nugget, and then you had to go next door to the Riviera for your where the exercise yards were, and then the bunks were all in the Desert Inn. And because these were airmen who'd been at Nellis Air Force Base, which is just outside Las Vegas, so that's why they did it. I mean, it's a fascinating place to see it. In terms of tourist access and ease of getting there, I mean, you mentioned how you got to Vietnam. Last week here. So getting around the country, if they wanted to do what you did, if people wanted to do that and see a bit of Vietnam, easy, affordable? How much are you looking at for hotels in the city?
Generally, it is a very affordable country. And there is only one, there's two airlines, but they're mainly ministry run. So it's all Vietnam Air. But they're all doing many, many flights internally. You can take a train, which is, again, remarkably cheap. And it's quite a nice way to travel by train. And I don't know if you do much on the old train, but it's actually quite nice because you've got, you basically see the countryside all the time, aren't you? So train travel, and most of the population either go by car or by train. Luckily, a lot of the tourists go, because it's like, obviously, in airlines, it's an hour to go from Saigon to Hoi An and Da Nang, and then another hour to get up to Hanoi. So it's still a couple of hours trek, which is quite good. The nice thing also about tourists is there's no visas needed anymore for Vietnam. So you could tell that they're opening themselves up now to world tourism. And for UK particularly, having no visas at all is really good. It used to be a bit of a mission. Now it's very, very easy. So as long as you've got a British passport, you can just come straight in without having to worry about it. So that's good too.
Wow.
One thing I must mention quickly is there was a lovely, lovely little thing. They do water puppetry here too. And we went to see a water puppet show. And it's a lovely tradition, dating back to the Middle Ages. These puppeteers, they stand in water behind a curtain and work the puppets using long poles under the water, which is lovely. So you get a combination of music, lights and puppetry skills to play out stories. Quite lovely to watch, and it was okay for an hour. I don't think I could take more than that.
I don't know anybody who could take more than an hour of any form of puppetry, to be quite frank. But you must be joking. So there you are. I mean, are you on your way home soon? Are you going to spend any more time over in Vietnam, or you're going to go on because you're very near the Chinese border? You're just going to dash over into China, Andy? Do some. I imagine that's an easy thing to do.
If only Russ. No, I'm. I've got one more day today. We're gonna do some a street food tour today. So literally, I've got an expert who's going to take us around, and another organised tour by Experience Travel. So they're going to take us around, literally the beautiful stalls, tell us the right places to eat, and the food is fantastic in the street. So we'll be doing that today till about lunchtime, and then pack up and come on home.
Oh wow! And you're planning your next trip. I mean, will you get another trip in before Christmas, do you think, Andy? Or is this it now? Are you going to be back in England and settle for the festive season?
I'd love to, but you're going to laugh because I am going to be somewhere else next Thursday.
Are you really?
Yeah. Make it a triple. Get a hat trick. Why not?
There we go. I tell you, three in a row. It's the Mossack hat trick. Nice to talk to you, Andy. Enjoy the rest of your time there, mate.
Does Dinah Washington, does that count as a...
Dinah Washington, that's good. I'll take it. There's a dollar. I'm sure it'll go far. So excellent stuff. Thanks very much, Andy.
All right, mate. Take care.
Bye-bye. And I'm sure you're going to be seeing photos very soon at facebook.com/LateNightRussell if you want to read more of the account of his trip through Vietnam, of course. Never knows where he's going to be next week. But I will have clues, and I'm going to need your help. So jealous. I'd love to do it, wouldn't you? Love to do it. Just like to stress again, we don't pay a cent towards it. Because we have no budget, of course. Quick tune from Dionne Warwick in a second. And